We're holding on one of the Chesem of Beis, two lines from the bottom. Started discussing yesterday the issue of if somebody is machzir his slave. We talked about that a lot, and we started talking about the concept of a person is machzir his slave. So what happened? So we said that Rav had said that actually what happens is that he becomes a yid at that point, because by saying that he wants to make him hektish, he can't make that his goof is hektish. He's not like an animal that can be brought to the carbon or sold for the purposes of being a carbon. So it's not suspicious goof, it's not suspicious dummy. Therefore, he must have meant that he wants him to have the kedusha of the Jewish people. And we discussed, we had a couple of braises that dealt with related issues, and we said that one of them, yes, contradicts Rav, but it's okay, he's Tani, he can disagree with it. And another one, even though it's Darshan and the Pasuk, we have a way of understanding it that's talking about that he was Makdish to Eved for his Dhamim. He didn't say the Eved himself is Hekdish, he said that the Dhamim, the value of the Eved, is Hekdish. So Toshma, a Makdish Avdoi, somebody is Makdish his slave, Oysev Oysel, so now he's allowed, because Eved is allowed to work, he's allowed to do work and eat from the profits of what he makes, meaning we don't say that what he makes is hektish. And we learned earlier in the Masechta, we had a case where a person was machzish the hand of his eved, where then we said the eved has to borrow money in order to eat because anything on any of his mice, the other are hektish. Here we're talking about he declared the eved as a whole hektish. So he's allowed to, his mice, the other are not hektish, though. Therefore, he's allowed to continue doing work and eating based on that. Because we can understand it that all he was machdish was the value of this eved. Effectively, it's the equivalent of him having said this eved is hektish as far as his value. So it's the equivalent of a behemoth mayor, for example. It's the equivalent of saying that I'm making this horse hektish, where the horse itself doesn't become hektish, the value of it becomes hektish. Anyway, that seems to contradict Rav, because Rav had said that if you make him hektish, he goes free and it becomes a yid. The answer is Hamani Rav Meir. Yes, but you could say that this Braisa goes according to Rav Meir. Da'ama ain't on the mighty dwar of Vatala. Rav Meir says, as a rule, we've had this concept before, and the primary place of it is an Erechin. Rav Meir says when a person makes a declaration of Hektish, he's not saying it for nothing. So Rashi uses the word Lahektish Lavatala. So yes, when it comes to declaring something hektish, a person doesn't say it for nothing. If he said that this eved is hektish, it must mean, given that the eved himself can't become hektish, then it must mean that he meant the value of him should become hektish. Whereas the Chachamim would disagree. The Chachamim would say that yes, a person may well say that something is hektish, even though it has no effect. And if it has no effect for hektish, then Rav can say that it makes him yid. So why are we saying, why would it be Levatola? According to the mayor, the virtue of saying that it's Levatola would be because it's Levatola in the sense of hektish gets no benefit from it if he becomes a yid. If the dummim that are hektish, then hektish gets a benefit from it. According to a mayor, when a person makes a declaration that includes the word hektish, he means for hektish to have some kind of benefit from it. Whereas the Chachamim would disagree with that. They could say that it may, depending on the circumstance, it may be that hektish doesn't get anything at all. Or it may be, in this circumstance, Rav would be saying, yes, also, the hektish doesn't get anything at all. Instead, the eved becomes a yid. He becomes am kodesh. And the Gemara says, Hachin Nami Mistabra. In fact, the Gemara could have very well answered also that Rav is a Tana and he can argue with the Zraisa. The Gemara didn't want to do that because Zraisa takes it as a given that there's no possibility that he meant anything other than some kind of hektish. The Zraisa didn't even entertain the possibility that it might mean that he wanted to make him a yid. So therefore, it's not logical to say that you have, on the one hand, Rav saying there's no possibility other than that he meant to make him a yid, and the Zraisa is going to be saying the diametric opposite. So it must be that there's some way to reconcile them. The Gemara says, talking now in Mistaber. In fact, that seems to be logical, and that's what the Braita is talking about, that it's a situation where he was machdish the Eved as far as his Zomim. Because the Braita continues, the same thing if a person is machdish himself, if a person declares, I am machdish, also he's allowed to work and he's allowed to eat based on what he earns from his work. Shalahikta, Shaladama, because again, all he was machdish was his value. That he means that he's going to pay his value to Hektish. So how does that fit with what we said? If you're going to tell me the Braita goes according to the Meir, shocker. And it makes sense. Given that, again, if a person is going to make a declaration of Hekdesh, he must mean that Hekdesh is going to get something out of it. So fine, by the same logic then, whether he said an Eved or whether he said himself, we can assume a person knows that he himself is not able to become Hekdesh. So he'll know, therefore, so necessarily, therefore, must be dummy, even though he didn't say the word dummy. Eli, I'm a Rabbanani, but if you were to say that the Braisa is according to the Rabbanan, and therefore that they're saying is that because you were Makdish, it may be that Adam Motzi Dvarav Latala, but we would say therefore because you actually meant to say that the Guf is Kaddish, but it's not able to, and therefore we sort of downgrade it to saying Dhamim, if you were going to say that, Vishlema Abdul Ladomikoi. I can understand by an Eved that even if he didn't specify, he might well mean Dhamim, because what do you do with an Eved? You sell him. He has a monetary value. Therefore, it's logical when he says the Eved is Hekdesh, even the Rabbanan would say that fine, that can mean, therefore, that we look at not the Eved himself, because an Eved himself is not capable of being Hekdesh, therefore, necessarily, he must have meant the Dhamim. He must have meant that he's going to sell this Eved and take the value of it and give that to Hekdesh.
So what's the difference?
That's what we're saying. If it was an Eved, Ella Evil, the Dhamim Koi, but a person himself, is he expected to have a value on the market? He's not expected to be sold. So if it were according to the Rabbanan, we would have to say then, if he said he himself is Hekdesh, since Adam likely brought of the Matala, since the Chachamim don't believe in this idea that a person, when he makes a declaration of Hekdesh, it has to be meaningful, it would just mean it's meaningless. It would be the equivalent of the situation in Erechin, which is where the Machlokes of a Meir and the Chachamim comes up. If a person says, I'm going to give the Erech of a baby less than a month old, a baby less than a month old has no Erech. There's a table and turd and doesn't list an Erech for less than a month old. So the mayor would say he instead has to give the dhamim, and the chachamim says he gives nothing. But the same thing over here, if it were himself rather than an eved, by the same logic, we would say that he owes nothing. Necessarily, if the braisa is making an equivalence between an eved and himself, and therefore that in both cases saying he's kaddish or I'm kaddish makes it a situation of dhamim, that can only be according to the mayor. So the mayor says lema kachanoi. Okay, in that case, should we say that this question of whether when a person declares his slave Hekdesh, whether he becomes Kaddish, whether we say therefore that there's Dhamim involved, or whether we say does he become a Yid, should we say that this is Lema Ketanoi? Should we say this is actually a Machlokes Tanoi? A Braisa says, Hamakdish Avdoi, if somebody is Makdish his slave, Ein Moilin Boy, Ein Moilin Boy, then you're not able to commit Me'ilah with him, meaning if you go and use this Eved for work after you amakdish him, for mundane work, you haven't committed Me'ilah.
You have not
committed Me'ilah, right.
Okay.
Because that we're going to say. Rav Shimon Gamliel, I'm a Moilin Besaira, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says that it's possible to do Me'ilah with his hair. Why we're specifically mentioning his hair, we're going to get to soon. So my lab b'hokamis. Wouldn't that be then the underlying machlokes? The marasava kaddish or marasava loy kaddish. Evidently, then the Tanakama hold that he is not kaddish, and therefore there's no hekdesh attaches to him. We might say then, like Rav, that if he said hekdesh, what he means is that he should have the kedusha of a yid, that he wants to make him free. Therefore, there's no meila involved. He doesn't belong to hekdesh in any way.
Well,
doesn't belong to him also. Fine, but at least if he now uses him, then he's not committing meila. So Rav Shimon Gamliel, rather, would be the one who holds the Kaddish, that he does become Hekdesh. Therefore, it's possible to do Me'ilah. If you now use him, or his hair, actually, Rav Shimon Gamliel mentions, then you would have committed Me'ilah, because you used something that belongs to Hekdesh. And the Chachamim would say that not. The Gemara says, which is, how could you think that that's what it means? Hi, Merlin, by the ain't Merlin, by then why are they talking in terms of whether you're able to commit Me'ilah, whether using him is a violation of the dinim of Me'ilah? Kaddish v'ena kaddish, hi kaddish v'ena kaddish v'vayle. Let it say flat out, is he kaddish? Is he considered hektish, or is he not? Why put it in such a plan? Why use Me'ilah exactly? Elo dekula am a kaddish. No, rather we can say that everybody might agree that he's kaddish in the sense that now you have to sell this eved and take the money and give it to hektish, which is what we were talking about before. So not like Zav, who says he's kaddish in the sense that he becomes a yid, but Kaddish in the sense that the value of him now belongs to Hekdesh, exactly as it would be, for example, if you declare a horse Hekdesh, where the idea is that you sell the horse and the money goes to Hekdesh. So the difference is, v'hocha v'hocha mitzvah. So no, rather than machlokas is as follows. The marasava abdur k'makarki yijami. The Tanakama holds that an eved is the equivalent of karka. It is a pasuk. The pasuk that we quoted yesterday is nachal tamosim l'vnechem acharechem, that you bequeath your abodim to your children after you, l'reshes achuza, to inherit them. Achuza is usually used land, so therefore that creates a hekesh between abodim and land, which comes up in many places in halacha. So for many purposes in halacha, abodim are considered like land. Now, ne'ila doesn't apply to land either. Ne'ila, in turn, Rashi says, we learn, what do we learn, what does ne'ila apply to? We learn by Xer Shava from Truma. Truma doesn't apply to actual land. Truma only applies to vegetables or fruits that have already been picked. Therefore, neither does ne'ila apply to land. So if we say that an eved is like Makarki, then there's no ne'ila. So yes, he might well be Kaddish, that's what we're saying. Everybody would agree he's Kaddish. The Tanakama would say that no ne'ila is possible because he's like Karka. Just like if you have land that belongs to Hekdesh, you go and use that land, you haven't committed Me'ila. The same way if you're using the second.
So what do you mean?
There are actually, Tosfos talks about here a situation where that the Gemara talks about elsewhere where it is possible to do Me'ila with Karka. Tosfos gives the example. Let's say, for example, that you had a pit. You had a pit in the ground that you donated to Hekdesh, and then you went and pulled a rock out of the side of that pit. So that there you've committed Me'ila. So the rock originally was detached, and now it was built into the well, and now you've separated it out again. But if you were to just, for example, go and let's say take a drink from the well, then you'd be okay. The truth is actually it does get a little bit complicated as far as what ways is there Me'ila in land. There are certain cases. There are certain details we'll learn about a few years from now when we learn about the Me'ila. We'll get into it in great detail. But there are cases where Me'ila to a certain extent does apply to land. But basically it doesn't. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that the Eved is considered like Metalkalim. Well, you can do Me'ila with Metalkalim. Fine, you have a Pasuk that equates him to Karka in certain ways, but the fact of the matter is the Eved is not attached to the ground.
So what
does he do with the Hekesh? All kinds of things. It means, for example, that there's no din of Ina'a when it comes to buying and selling slaves, for example. The din of overcharging or undercharging don't apply to it. It means that when you want to do pidyon shvuyim, you can't give pidyon aben. You have to give the koyin money or shavah kesef, something that's the equivalent of money. You can't give him land, and you can't give him slaves. The value of the five shkolim is a number of things. Okay, the question is, if that's the case, why are they only arguing about his hair? Let them argue about his body. Now, what do we mean by if that's the case? It sounds like that question ought to exist even according to the original way that we thought of the question whether he's hektish or not. Before we got to what we just said, that everybody agrees he's hektish, we're arguing whether he's like Karka or like Metalpun. So the Rashba says that's true. Ihochi over here doesn't necessarily mean what it does in the rest of Shas. It doesn't mean like Ihochi, like only if we grant the last possibility, then we have this question. Really, the question existed all along. But the Rishva has another explanation of how it comes up only now that we've established that the Machlokes, whether we're considering him like Kauker or like Metalpilin, then now it makes it before when we thought that everybody thought he's like Metalpilin, then we had no reason to ask why the hair. The hair isn't just as Metalpil as the rest of the body. Now that we know that they're arguing about whether he's Kauker or Metalpilin, so why are they specifically mentioning the hair? Ella, no. Tekula alma avdus from the Kalki. I mean, let's try. Then everybody would agree that the Eved is considered like Kalka. The Hocha B'Sai. So then, in that case, Me'ila shouldn't apply. The Hocha B'Sai Ha'Omid LeGozes can be. However, the Machloekas is here about hair of his that is ready to be cut. It's already grown long enough that's going to be cut in the near future. We would say, do we consider that hair as if it's already cut? If we consider that it's already cut, yeah, then it's a Metalpilin. If we say that it's not considered, then it would still attach to him. He's considered like Karka, therefore it's also considered like Karka.
But it's attached.
That's the point. But we can say that it can be considered as if it's already ready to be detached. And therefore, that's already, we've had this concept before. We had it in Exilbus, we had it in other places, whether something that's going to be done, whether it's considered as if it's already done. They talk about there is quite a bit of discussion about the ins and outs of that. It depends on, among other things, it depends on whether it's something that's going to happen on its own or whether it's something that requires human intervention. Like here, the master or somebody would have to cut his hair. They talk about a distinction that the Rambam might hold between this case versus the case of Moedim Mitzvah, which is actually the next case the Gemara is going to talk about over here. So the Gemara says, Lema Hani Tanoi Kahani Tanoi. In that case, should we say that the machlokas of the Tanak of the Chachamim and Shimon and Gamliel that we just had about the Eved, is that maybe the same as the machlokas between the following Tanoi? The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Bava Metzia, Reb Meir Omer, Yesh Dvarim Shehen Tataka Ve'enin Tataka. There are certain things that are in a way like Tataka, but on the other hand, in a way they're not. The Chachamim learned it, but the Chachamim don't agree with him on that. Take that. What does this mean? Suppose that Reuven says to Shimon, Esig Fanim Turnit Masakiloch, I gave over to you 10 grapevines for safekeeping, so to take care of them, that the 10 grapevines that were attached to the ground, which were Turnit, they were laden with fruit, and now I want that vineyard back. And the other one says, Shimon says, it was only 5 that you gave me. Now, this is a case of Moedim Mitzvah. Normally, it would be a case, therefore, where Shimon would have to swear. However, if we say that this is Kauka, then he doesn't have to, because that's another din that applies to Kauka and doesn't apply to Metalcolon, that applies to Metalcolon and doesn't apply to Kauka. The whole concept of swearing on a claim does not apply to claims involving Kauka. We learn it from Sokim, because in Parashat Mishpatim, when it talks about the concept of swearing on a claim, it's talking about movables, it's talking about Metalcolon. So therefore, no less. There's a custom. I mean, the pastures, the reason is because the land is always, it's impossible to hide it. The land is always there, no matter what. So therefore, in many ways, we consider, you know, the land is always in the chazaka of the person who had it originally. So Rameyer still says that he's obligated, he has to take a shura, because he was Moedim Mitzvah, because he admitted part of the claim. Whereas the Chachamim say anything attached to the ground is considered like the ground. Therefore, just like you wouldn't have him swear in Beis Din if Reuven had claimed that you owe me an acre of land, and Shimon says I only owe you half an acre, let's say, and I bought it from you and you didn't hand me over the whole land or whatever. For sure, everybody agrees you wouldn't swear then. So the Chachamim say the same thing when it happens with these grapevines since they're attached to the ground. Well, the actual argument between the mayor and the Chachamim is specifically when the grapes are about ready to be harvested. And we're not talking about unripe grapes, where they were still going to be attached to the ground for a while. We're talking about they're already ripe and ready to be harvested. The mayor is not considered Samian, but Rabban and Samian are considered Samian. So the mayor would hold that these grapes are considered as if they're already harvested, therefore they're metalpolin. And the Chachamim would hold that they're not, and therefore they're still considered Tauka. So on the face of it, then yes, this machlokas about the hair of the Eved seems to be the same machlokas. Do you say that it's considered as if it's already cut, or do you not?
Yes.
The answer is, Afilu Tamer of Meir, not necessarily. You could say that both the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Gamliel in the previous machlokas would agree with Rav Meir in this one, as far as the grapevines, because Ad Kam, I call Rav Meir Hossam, Alaban Novim. Rav Meir is talking over there about grapes. The longer they stay on the grapevine, once they're ripe, they're going to start spoiling. Eventually, there comes a point, once they're ready to be harvested, they have to be harvested. It's considered a double of it, even your last year at El Chalamoyed, etc., because otherwise they're just going to go bad. But no, over here, No, the longer the hair stays on the Evan's head, the better off it is. The longer it grows, the more eventually when you cut it off, you can sell it for a wig or something. When it's short, you can't. They add various other things. How does the head deteriorate?
Okay, the head becomes dry and fully cut.
No, when as long as it's attached to the scalp, it doesn't. No. unless maybe if you shampoo it too much, if you use harsh shampoo on it or whatever, come on, they didn't have that stuff. So the hair, the longer it gets, the more suitable it is for things that you want long hair for. Wigs, or for example, making, they used to make, we find in various places in shops, they used to make sacks out of hair. In those days, usually they'd use animal hair, but they could use human hair also. The longer the fibers of the hair, the more useful it is. So not necessarily would Reb Meir say that in that case that it's considered as if it's already cut. So within Reb Meir's opinion, you could have a Chachamim and Reb Shimon on the Lord. Okay. So far, we haven't yet come to any conclusion for or against Rav's opinion that when you declare an Eved Hekdesh that you say he goes free and he becomes a Yid. So now, Kisolot Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, when Reb Chiya Bar Yosef went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Omar Lahai Shmaita Zidav Kameh Rav Yechanan. He told over this teaching of Rav about Hamakdish Avdei, and Hamakdish Avdei, he told it to Rav Yechanan. Omar Leif, he says, Omar Rav Achi, did Rav really say that? So they might ask that, why, what's the problem? Why didn't Rav Yechanan say the same thing himself? If a person declares an Eved of Hefker, he goes free, the Tzarech get Shichru, but he still needs a get Shichru to make him fully a Ben Chorin and be able to marry a Baki Joe. So Rabbi Yechanan is saying the same thing as Rav, at least as far as the Master. The answer is the answer is you're right. It wasn't he was surprised that Rav really say such a thing as if to say I disagree with him. No, what he was asking is in surprise, did Rav really say the same thing as I do? So we are saying the same thing. The Ikad Amri, others say another possibility, that they Rav Chiya Bar Yosef told him what Rav had said, but he didn't tell him the whole statement. He just told him that Rav said that Hamakru Abda Yafal Khairis. He didn't add the fact that he needs to get Shifru. So therefore, so therefore, according to this understanding, Rabbi Yechanan, when Rabbi Yechanan hears him saying that Rav said a person declares an Eved Hefker, he goes out with Cheruv. He says, "Veloy Amar Rav Tzarech Get Shichur." Didn't Rav say that he needs to get Shichur as well? Is it enough just because he said he's Hefker that he's Yafal Cheruv without anything else? And then he clarified that he in fact he did say that. Yeah. The Gemara says, but Rabbi Yochanan was Taimei, so Rabbi Yochanan now is going according to his own reasoning that we find, his own svara that we find in another case. Because you find that Ola said that in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, just that. That Hamakru Abdi is Yosef Lacherus and he needs to get Shifra, exactly what Rav said. Different, by the way, than what Shmuel had said on Lamed Chesem and Aleph that we learned yesterday, that Shmuel had said that once the Eved is Hefker, he doesn't even need to get Shifra. That once he's out of the room. No, it says the machlokas, that's all. We have Rav and Rabbi Yochanan on one side, and Shmuel on the other. Kufa, getting back to that discussion then, let's analyze it. Amar Ulam Rabbi Yochanan, Hamakru Abba Yochanan Lecheres Tzarech Get Shichur. But now, on this, Eitzver of Abba L'Ula. So Rabbi Abba asks Ula, I have a contradiction from a Braita. Ger Shemeth, if you have a Ger died, now a Ger, remember, in Ger Shemeth, he has no relationship with his old Goyish family. So if he marries and has children, then fine, they yarsh him. What if he doesn't have any children? So a born Yid who didn't have any children, fine, then the Mechassim go to his brothers, and if he doesn't have brothers, it goes, if he doesn't have a father, whatever, it goes generation after generation, it goes recursively up, all the way back to Reuben or Shimon or Levi, if you have to. So fine, it could be a 50th cousin or something, but there is.
There's
a tshuva of the Rambam where they asked him about somebody who passed away without any immediate heirs, and they asked the Rambam, does that mean that his money goes to the tzibur or to Hector, you know, for the shul or something thing, and the Rambam tells him absolutely not. It goes to whoever his closest relative is. It doesn't matter if you have to go back 10 generations and then down 10 generations to find one. He says flat out, if the call were to take it, that would be stealing. But in the case of a ger, it's not like that. If a ger has no children, then that's it. Then it's up for grabs. So ger shemeth, vizbizu Yisrael mechassav, so his mechassav are up for grabs, and Jews went and took everything, which they're allowed to, it's a tefker now.
Listen, way back in Israel.
we start up here, we go around there about the bottom.
We did? I don't remember that. Right.
Somewhere with the field, if it's measured, if it's closed up, we grab it. If it happens to be a gear, has to wait, then everyone can go ahead and make it. How you get isolated, the boundary, and grab something.
I don't remember, but all right. Anyway, you behind a vodim, and a moment, you have better memory than me, I guess.
Okay.
Behind a vodim, and among these nechassim there are a vodim, slaves, they gdolim v'nkshanim, whether they're adults or whether they're children, konoatman v'nei chorin, they've acquired themselves, and therefore they go free, because as soon as the eved died, that's it, there's no more mastership over them, and therefore automatically they go free.
Oh, yeah, vodim go free.
Yeah, vodim go free, that's what they're saying. Abba Shaul said no. Dolan Konoatman Menechodin. The adult slaves, it's true. They have the ability to perform a kinyan, so therefore they have the ability to be kinyan themselves. As soon as their master died, then that's it. They go free. Tanim who have no ability to be zosei in anything. A cotton is not able to be zosei in anything on his own. He has no yad, no shlichus, no nothing. Therefore, cholamachik behem zochabahem, so any yid who later on does make a chazaka on them, as we talked about yesterday, he has them do work for him, zochabahem, and that's it, he's zochabahem.
And he got all the free, got free, he can be checked.
Maybe he could, once he's free, maybe he could, Taka, yeah, if nobody else can. Yeah, once he's a ben chorin himself, sure, he's a pasha. Now, so we have to ask, Rav Abba asks, V'chim mi kosev get shikru le'elu. Now think of it. According to the Rabbanan, both the adults and the children, according to Abba Shaul, only the adults, what do you mean they go free? What happened to a get shikru? How do you mean they automatically go free?
Okay.
So therefore, so what are you telling me that what are you telling me? The sort of get shikru. That without a get shikru, they're still stuck on the face of it, we see that they don't need. Amalei, where are we? Omar, so Ula answers him very dismissively. Domi, hain mirabonan to the legamri in shishmaita. This person, this rabbonan, meaning you, Rav Abba, are acting like somebody who never learned Gemara properly. Like this isn't a very good question. The time am I? What's back of the reason? Why is it not a good question? Amar Rav Nachman, kasava Ula, because Ula holds Abed Ger ki Ishtay. The Eved of a Ger is the same thing as his wife. Ma Ishtay Mishtalchabala Get, because in fact it makes a Zeta Shava. How do we know the whole concept of Get Shichu we learn from a Zeta Shava, a lot from a woman? So, Ma Ishtay Mishtalchabala Get, so just like the Ger's wife, as soon as he dies, automatically she's free to marry anybody, she doesn't need a get. I thought of Mishtalchabala Get, the same thing as a Vodim also go free without a get. That doesn't prove that ordinary situation have a master out there where the master is still alive, that you shouldn't need a get shit through. Okay, the question is, Yachi, I feel Yisrael Nami. Well, if that's the case, why only if a get died? Shouldn't the same thing apply if the master is a born Yisrael and he died? Why are you saying instead that the Avodim go to his family? The answer is, the pasuk says that you bequeath them to your children and they inherit them. So therefore, okay, the Ger doesn't have any heirs, that's different. But a regular Yisrael has heirs. Okay, in that case, shouldn't we say the same thing, let's say, for example, the person was master his slave, and then he died? Shouldn't we say then, in that case, he doesn't need to get shichur? Now, there's two aspects in an eved. There's the monetary aspect and there's the iser aspect. We talked about this yesterday. So, on the face of it, the monetary aspect has been taken care of by being master him. You have no more monetary stake in him anymore. And the iser, by the same logic, should be taken away once the master dies. Because the yoshim are not able to yoshim at that point. Alama omer amemer. So why, in fact, do we find that amemer said? We'll talk about this tomorrow as well. Amemah says, as a matter of fact, actually, if a person is master his slave and then he dies, that Eved is stuck. He's stuck because he's kind of in limbo over here. He can't. He's still. He's not fully a ben chorin because he needs a get shifur, and the father who died is not able, now that he doesn't have a monetary stake in his Eved anymore, he's not able to bequeath that ability to give a get shifur, to take away the issue, he's not able to bequeath that to his children. That's what we're arguing. That's exactly what we're saying. On the face of it, based on the logic we just said, that an Eved is like an Isha, then we should say, the same way as a person is separated from his wife and then he dies, and that's it, she doesn't need a get, same logic, he was after his Eved, and then he dies, he shouldn't need a get shichur. Amema is saying, on the contrary, he needs a get shichur, and there's nobody available to give it to him. The old master can't, because he's dead, and the new and the potential new masters can't, because they're not his masters. They don't inherit it. All they inherited is the Isser aspect, and the Isser aspect is not something that can be inherited from father to son.
So he belongs to the children?
No, so he doesn't belong to the thing, so he's stuck.
If father would not give up to him,
then his children would inherit him, and then they could free him if they wanted.
Yeah, it's like partially was already...
It's partially done and partially not, yeah. So what it means, he's stuck, by the way, actually, so Rashi says it means he can't marry anybody. He can't marry a Bat Yisrael because he's still partially an Eved, and he can't marry a Shifra because he's still... On the other hand, Tosfos later on in Daf Mem argues and says, no, he's still considered an Eved to the extent that he can still marry a Shifra. He's not totally stuck in that sense, but on the other hand, the fact is that he needs to get Shifra and he doesn't have a way of getting it.
It's a miracle,
yeah. Well... the answer is that Amema Kasha. As a matter of fact, yes. This, what Amema is saying, is very difficult to understand. Therefore, in other words, it's a Kasha. It's not a Tufta. It's not like we've slugged them up. There is a way. Zacharin can talk about ways in which we can answer what Amema is saying. That still, there might be a difference between a Ger who died and therefore the Eved automatically became Hefker versus somebody who was Master as Eved while he was alive. Nevertheless, though, is what I'm saying. It's based on the logic that we just said, that once the master is dead, once the ger is dead, then the Eved automatically goes free without a get shikur. L'chorah, the same thing ought to apply on the face of it if he was master and then died. So that it's hard to reconcile that with what Amema is saying. Okay, Tosfos points out that actually the question really is only if we accept Rav's position before, that Hamakr and Rav Yechon, that Hamakr Abba Yotzal Acheret Sotorach get Shichur. The question isn't so much on Shmuel. Shmuel's idea that he doesn't need to get Shichur itself is a machloek of Tanoyim. You could say Amemer holds according to the other thing. Shmuel, necessarily Shmuel and Amemer disagree, because Amemer says he's stuck and Shmuel says he's not, he doesn't need to get Shifra at all. But fine, this that Shmuel says is actually the subject of Machaloka Tanoim, but it talks about Nibomus, so therefore that's not necessarily a contradiction to Amemer. Going back to the Machalokas we had before about the Ger that died and left over Avodim, so we said that we had the Tanakhama had said that whether they're adults or whether they're children, they become B'nai Chorin. And Abishol said only the adults, the children, anybody can be master to them. So, Amr Rabbi Yaakov Ha'idi, Amr Rabbi Shimon Levi, Hamocha Abishol. So he says the Hamocha, in fact, is like Abishol. So the adults go free, the children stay alone. Amr Rabbi Zera, Amr Rabbi Yaakov Ha'idi. So now, if Zera asks Rabbi Yaakov Ha'idi, the Feir Shmialach or the Klol Shmialach? Did you explicitly hear Rabbi Shimon Levi say in so many words the Hamocha is like Abishol? Or is it that you're deducing it from something that he said?
What's the difference?
Well, the difference is because if you actually heard him say it, then there's no slugging it up. If it's deduced from something that he said, maybe there might be a different way to understand what he said. That's exactly what the Gemara is going to ask. My Klala, first of all, let's see what kind of situation would there have been from which Rabbi Yaakov Ha'idi might be deducing that Rabbi Shimon Levi held the halacha like Abishol. Look at the Amr Rabbi Shimon Levi, Amr Lufnei Rebbe. They said the following case in front of Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Hanavi. Amr Nisyashkin Plani Abi. Suppose somebody says, I have Yush from my Eved. So the Eved has been captured, let's say, like we talked about yesterday, or whatever it is, he ran away, or it doesn't really matter the situation. The master says, I'm Miyayish of him. Which Rashi says, this is a Lashon of Hefker. He says that yesterday, so he disagrees, Yush and Hefker are not exactly the same thing, but for our purposes, it's close enough, basically. So, Mahu, so what's the din? Omalahem, so Rebbe tells them, Oimrani, Ein Lechakona, El Abishtar. The only way to make it possible for him to go completely free and marry a Bat Yisrael is to get a Shtar Shichru, which is what we mentioned before from Amemer, that if there's no way of giving it to him, then he's stuck. But so, Ein Lechakona, El Abishtar. But Amr Rabbi Yechanan, and Rabbi Yechanan says, my time of the Rebbe, why does Rebbe hold that at this point the only way to free him is with a Shtar?
After
years. Gama loch meisha, because he makes a zera shava on the word loch from gerushin, from divorce. Ma ishi b'shtar af eved nami b'shtar. Just like a woman is separated from her husband and divorced only using a shtar, so an eved also has to be with a shtar. No, but it's still, we still, though, well, that's the point. In other words, if a man is maskir his wife, that doesn't help. He still needs a get. So the same thing, just because the guy was maskir his eved, he still requires a get shit. Now, doesn't matter why he was maskir him. For our purposes, it doesn't really matter. I mean, actually, before, in the earlier part of the sugya, when we talked about the case over there, we had a case before of a shivcha who was captured, and then they told the based in a Talmud sent a message to her former master to sort of Abba Barzutra, saying you should send her a get shichur. Rabbi Akiva asks, I'm not actually doing a shat. How does it help to send her a get shichur if she's not under his control? And he has a very hard time understanding how such a thing is possible. If the eved is no longer under your control, how is it even possible to send a get shichur that should be valid? And I'm going to talk about that there is, in fact, such a thing is possible.
It doesn't have to be under control.
That's right. Yeah. So,
Lo man
avoda is a mitzvah that you should keep them as an eved and not free them, but in this case already, that if you were miyayish, so yeah, I mean, you were over on the Issa, but yeah. But once you were miyayish, then yeah. Okay. So the point is, if he had not been miyayish, there's more than one way for an eved kanani to go free. Another way besides shtar is kesef, that the eved kanani, or that somebody else pays on his behalf, or the eved himself raises money, on condition that his master doesn't have any control over that. Somebody gives him money on condition that his master doesn't have any control over that money, and he buys his way to freedom. Here, Rebbe is saying that. Here, Rebbe is saying the kesef is not going to work. You must have shtar. So why is that? So because of the gzeira shoga from Isha. V'kodaikus, you know? So in turn, you can further be medayik in this. You can further point out the details. Ma ishi isur of loyma moina. Just like in the case of a woman, the husband only has, the relationship between them is only a matter of isur. There's no financial, the husband doesn't own his wife. The same thing with the eved. We're talking about that. We're talking about the get shichur is only the get shichur is only meant to take away the isra aspect, not the moment aspect.
But he owns it.
He doesn't, because he was miyash.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So therefore, so what would that mean? So what would that mean? Therefore, that would So we would see the difference between. So we would see the difference between the adult eved and the child eved that we were talking about before, because we were saying that Abba Shol says the Ketanim, since they have no ability to be zoicha in themselves, therefore they remain avodim. The adults go free. So therefore. What is Rebbe talking about over here when he says in Siashkin the 20 Avdi? Of necessity, he must be talking about Gzolim. And therefore, if Rebbe Shulman Levi is quoting this story with Rebbe and apparently approving of what happened over there, that would imply that he agrees with Abba Shol. So that's what Rebbe Zera is asking. Are you inferring from that story that Rebbe Shulman Levi told that he agrees with Abba Shol? Okay. So then the question is, Vihima Kolamai. Okay. So Rabbi Yaakov Ha'idi tells him, okay, let's say I deduced it from that story. So what? What's the problem? Isn't that a valid deduction? The answer is, Amalei Abed Abed Joyce Minova Ida Pisa. No, because you could say, you could be Medayat from it the other way around. Ma Isha Ben Gola Ben Ketana, Af Eved Nami Ben Gola Ben Ketana. Because an Isha doesn't make a difference as far as the divorce, whether she's an adult or a child. The same thing, you could argue that in the case of the Eved, it's not a matter of the moment aspect. It is a matter of the moment aspect. Don't compare to an Isha as far as that by an Isha there's no moment, there's only Isser. Compare it rather to the fact that by an Isha she can be divorced whether she's an adult or not. The same way an Eved would be freed in this way by Yish, whether he's a gadol or a katan, which would mean then that the halacha would be like a chamin. Amalei, sort of, Rabbi Yaakov Ha'idi tells him, the favor Shniyali. I heard it explicitly from Rabbi Yishuv and Levi, that he holds the halacha as like Abba Shol. So it's not, I didn't infer it from this story, which in that case you could slog me up. I heard it from him explicitly.
Hearing it and seeing it is not the fact.
Okay. On the other hand, Rav Chir Ba'aba Om Rav Yechanan ain't halacha kava. So Rav Chir Ba'aba tells us in the name Rav Yechanan. So okay, Rav Yechanan and Rav Shulam Levi are arguing. They're entitled to. They're both Amiraim. He says the halacha is not like kava shol. And again, Amalei Rav Zeir Rav Chir Ba'aba Refer Shmi Halacha and Mekol Shmi Halacha. Again, did you hear this from Rav Yechanan explicitly, or are you inferring it from something he said? And again, the question is my klala. What would be the situation that you would think I inferred it from?
It doesn't answer really yes or no.
Well, because this is how discussion in Gemara goes. You want to get into the analysis. The Amar Rabbi Shurban Levi, again, that Rabbi Shurban Levi said, Amar Rabbi Shurban Levi, Nisiyashtim Plani Abi Mahu, exactly the same case as before. If somebody says, I'm Miyayish for my slave, what happens? Omar Lam, so Rabbi tells them, Omar Ni Ema Takana Al Bishtar, the only way to fix the situation up is with a shtar. Well, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my time at the Rebbe, and again, Rabbi Yochanan says, that's why we're bringing this in over here, because Rabbi Yochanan is the one who explained it, that what's Rebbe's reason? Again, he makes the Zer Shava on the word law from the case of Gerushin. Just as a woman divorce has to be done with a shtar, so an Eved being freed has to be done with a shtar. And then in turn, we can even diet from that further, since we're making that comparison. Isha, that the Eved in this sense would be like the Isha. Ma'isha ben Gerla ben Ketana, just like with a woman, Gerushin are just as effective whether she's an adult or not. Eved Nami ben Gerla ben Ketana, so the same thing Eved also, which would mean, therefore, the halacha would be like the Chachamim, that even that whether Gerla ben Ketana, you need ordinarily a get shidduch, except in the case of a Gerushin mess, we're then Konum Asim and Renei Chorin, yeah, because that's a different situation, yeah. So Rav Zeira says to Rav Chir Ba'aba, maybe you're inferring from that that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the halacha is like the Chachamim. And again, like before, the question is, so what's your problem if I'm inferring it from that case? The answer is, Rav Zeira tells me, because on the contrary, you could make the inference the other way around. Ma isha sort of lemon line. Just like if you're only looking this from the klal, if you're only deducing this from what Rabbi Yochanan said rather than from an explicit statement that he said that the halacha is like the chachamim, then you could slog it up because you could learn it the other way, like we said before. Ma isha sort of lemon line. Just like with a woman, the get comes only to take away the isur, not to take away the mammon, because there is no mammon involved. The same thing by an Eved, it's only coming to take away the Issur, not the Mammon, and then there would be a difference between the Gdolim, who are able to be Kohen themselves, and the Ketanim, who are not. Yeah, but he has the Ksuba money, fine, but that's a debt that he owes her, that's not a monetary, he doesn't own her monetarily. I'm only the Feder Shmieli, and again, Rav Chir Ba'aba tells him, no, I heard it explicitly from Rav Yechanan. Going back to what we said before in the Braisa, that Rebbe says that in this situation, the guy was Machir, was Miyayish or Machir or whatever, his Eved, so we say the only way to fix up the situation is to give him a Shtar Shikru, which again, Rashi says that without that Shtar Shikru, he has no Takana, he can't marry anybody, not a Shikha, not a Bat Yisrael, he's stuck, and if he wants to tell you this, at least he can still marry a Shikha, but fine, he's still not considered a full-fledged Eved or full-fledged Ben Chorin. How is that? V'chatanya, but we learn in another braisa, Rebbe Omer, that Rebbe says, Omer ani, aku noisen dmei atzmei v'yosei. As a matter of fact, this Eved also is able to pay his own value and go free. Again, he'd have to have money that somebody gave him on condition that his master doesn't own that money, otherwise, so much kind of Eved kind of rabbi, yeah. Because then that's the equivalent of the master selling him to himself. So what are you telling me that Rebbe is saying that he can only use a shtar? We're here you're saying that he can use money as well. Yeah. The answer is hachakama over kesef over shtar. What Rebbe means is ordinarily the ways to free an eved are with kesef, with money, or with a shtar. Bahai pokalei kafe. The thing is, in this case, the kesef aspect has gone away. Therefore, all that's left is shtar. In other words, the case that Rebbe is talking about, that was saying that an Eved is able to free himself by paying his way, is talking about where his master was not master him, where he still owns him. But then there's two possible ways, Kesef and Shtar. But if there's no Kesef available, because the owner was Miyayish of him, all we're left with is Shtar.
And the Shtar, that the master doesn't want to.
What do you mean doesn't want him?
He's going to give him a Shtar?
Yeah, once he was master of him already, he has no more monetary interest.
He doesn't want to.
So maybe Beis Din could force him. We're going to learn in a couple of days, we're going to learn the famous case of Chetzi Eved v'Chetzi Ben Chorin, where because he's stuck marriage-wise, then Basilo and Bishamai argued about it, and eventually Bishamai pointed out to Basilo that you have to force him, you have to force the master, to completely free him, otherwise he's stuck as far as Piri Rivia. So maybe the same, according to Rashi, the same thing might be over here. According to Tosfos, maybe not, given that he's able to marry a Shifra, he's not totally stuck. In that case, then what's the chiddush? Then what exactly is Rebbe pointing out by that? We know that an eved can go free with kesef and with shtar. So what's the chiddush? Rebbe is coming to tell us not like the following tana. The tana, you're the shimon omer b'shimon Rebbe Akiva. Yochol yehi kesef goyim ba k'derech shtar goyim ba. You would think when it comes to a shifra, that money being paid out completes the shifr, just like a star shifr. Tamadim of a half day loy niftah. So no, so the pasuk tells us in Parashas Kedoshim, you have a case of shifcha charufa. You have a case of a Jew has relations with a shifcha charufa, where therefore what happens is she gets malchus, he has to bring a korban. Charufa means that she charufa literally means engaged, right? Like mekudeshes. So what exactly the case of the shifcha charufa is machloikas. Wait, so that's the thing. Because there's machlokas in Sefer Chrisus, I think it is, exactly what a shivcha charufa is. The halacha is that a shivcha charufa is a shivcha who is chetzi eved v'chetzi bas chorin. She's half free, half slave. Again, for example, she had two masters and one of them free him. She is mekudesh to an eved ivri, an eved ivri being the only person who could marry her in that state, because he's allowed to marry her as a shivcha, and he's allowed to marry her as a bas chorin. So he's engaged to her, he's mekudesh to her, and now she's mezana with another man.
When he marries her half and half,
so that's the thing. An Eved Ivri being a Yid is allowed to marry a Bat Yisrael, but also in the beginning of Parashas Mishpatim, you have Imadon of Yitzin Leisha, that his master is able to give him a Shifcha Knanis, a Goyisha Shifcha, as a wife, and then he has relations with her, and the children are considered Avadim.
So she was married.
So she's engaged from the Kurdish to this Eved Ivri. Later on, there'll be Nisroin, I guess, yeah. In this case, now she was Mizana with somebody else. So she gets Malchus, he brings the Korban. This is Asham Shivcha Charufa. He means the guy who was Mizana with her. I think even if it was Mizid, he brings the Korban. I don't remember for sure, though. Anyway.
That's
the thing. If she was an Ashes Ish, if she was a full-fledged Jewish woman, then they'd both be Chayav Misa. Because, the Pasuk says, because she's Lo Yomaser, the Pasuk says, they shall not be put to death. Ki Lo Chuparsha, because she was not completely free. Now, the Pasuk goes like this. The Pasuk starts out, V'ish Ki Ish Kavatesha Shichva Zera, V'ish Shivcha Necharepas L'ish, she's a Shivcha Charufa, V'hofte Lo Niftasa, she has not been completely free, so she has not been redeemed, Oy Chufsha Lo Nitzana, or freedom has not been given to her, V'kodah Siyah, there'll be an investigation, Lo Yumsu Ki Lo Chupasha, they're not to be put to death, because she was not free. So he focuses on the first part of the pasuk that is mentioning two possibilities, the hofdei or chufsha. The hofdei would imply that she's bought out with money, like pidyon shvuyim, and chufsha would imply a shtar shichru. The first the pasuk mentions both of them, but then it finishes off by saying lo yumsu ki lo chupasha. The last part of the pasuk mentions that neither of them is put to death because she was not chupasha, she was not given a get shichru, which means therefore he says the pasuk finishes off. The pasuk is telling us what the whole circumstance over here is, that she was not given a get shichur. Meaning, even though the pasuk starts off with two ways in which a shichur can be free, it finishes off by mentioning only one of them. Why lo yumsu? Why are neither of them put to death? He lo chupasha. Meaning, in other words, that the lo chupasha is the key thing over here. Is the operative thing over here. Therefore, loymalach shtar goyim above ain't a kesef goyim above, which is to tell you, Rabbi Shimon says, that only a shtar shichru makes her a complete bas chorin. Money does not. Even if money was already given to her master, he's saying as a general rule, we learn the concept of the how avodim klanim go free. We learn from the sfasim. Therefore, what Rabbi Shimon is saying is, because the pasuk phrases it that way, it starts by mentioning kesef as well as shtar, but it finishes by saying shtar, implies even if kesef is given, she's still not a complete bas chorin until shtar is given. That is what Rebbe is coming to tell us not so. Rebbe is coming to tell us Kesef and Shtar are on an equal level. When Kesef is Shayach, when Kesef is Shayach, namely when the Eved, when the master was not master, the Eved, then you can just as well redeem an Eved or a Shifra using Kesef as you can using Shtar. When there's no Kesef, when there's Yush, then necessarily you have to fall back on Shtar. So that's what Rebbe is coming to tell us. Okay, so who is the halacha like? Amar Rami Bachama Aram Nachman Halacha Kerub Shimon. That the halacha is a Kerub Shimon. Rav Yosef Bachama Aram Yosef Ein Halacha Kerub Shimon. So Ashkechei Rav Nachman Vayitzchak Rav Bar Shilta. One time Rav Nachman Vayitzchak met Rav Bar Shilta. Rav Bach says actually it should be Rav Bar Shilas, whatever. To have a koya pischa de Beit Tefillah. He was standing by the door of the shul. Amalei, so Rav Nachman Vayitzchak asked him, halacha or Ein Halacha? Who is the halacha like Rav Shimon or not? Amalei, ani oimer Ein Halacha. I say that the halacha is not with Rav Shimon, but Rabbanan, the also in Mechuza, however, the Rabbanan who came from the city of Mechuza, Amri, they say that Amr Abdenu, Mishmei, they're not with halacha, that the halacha is like Rav Shimon. V'chi asoy l'surah, so now when I went to surah, Ashkachte l'Rav Chiya Ba'avin, I met Rav Chiya Ba'avin, Amri Le, and I asked him, Emily Izzy, tell me Izzy. Izzy, the two explanations of what Izzy means, we talked about this before. One is that Izzy means my friend. The other one is like you say then in English, or so. So tell me. Gufa de Ovda Hechehava. What exactly happened over here that they were discussing this and that they came to these opposite conclusions? Amali tells me, Dahi Amsa Dahava Mora Shchivmara. There was a case of a Shivcha, Knanis, whose master was a Shchivmara. He was on his deathbed. Asya Bachya Kameh, she came and started crying in front of him. Amrali, she says, Amos Tishtabit Vatezil. How long is that woman, meaning I, going to remain a shivcha? Aren't you ever going to free me?
Okay,
you're not a best bet, yeah.
Shoko,
he took his hat. Shokoba, he threw it to her. Amalai tells her, Zilkniha, Kninasha. You acquire this, you kind of this, and with that, you'll also be able to be kind of yourself. Kinin Chalifit, basically. Awesome. What? Kinin Suda. Also, they came to Rav Nachman, and he tells them that what he did didn't count for anything. He's a Shchivmera. So what about Shchivmera, Dibre Shchivmera, Kisuvan, Kim Surin Damu? Rashi says, because Dibre Shchivmera is when you're telling your children that you want to do such and such, or you want to give such and such away as a present. Here he's trying to make a kinyan. A kinyan of a Shchivmera is the same as a kinyan of anybody else. If it's not a valid kinyan, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, then that's it. Nothing happens. It's a mistaken kinyan. And again, Tosfos says, if he had told his children, you'd also have the issue of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. But like this, it was a mistaken kinyan, as we're going to say. So, man d'chaza, anybody who saw what Rav Nachman paskin, he thought the halacha must be like Rav Shimon, only a shtar shichru works, nothing else, therefore kinyan suda does not work, and therefore they thought that's why Rav Nachman is saying the halacha, that must mean Rav Nachman would say the halacha is like Rav Shimon. But actually, that's not so. No, rather, the reason is because in this case, kinyan was done wrongly. The Gemara has machlokes in Bava Metzia. When you do kinyan sudur, whose sudur does it have to be? The sudur of the one who's acquiring the thing, Caleb Shokoina, or the sudur of the one who's being makne, who's giving over the. So the halacha is it has to be the Caleb Shokoina. You're selling the chametz to the rav. He gives you his sudur. In this case, he's the makne. He's not the koina. She's the koina. He's the makne. So with him giving her his hat, that's the wrong way of doing kinyan sudur anyway.
She would have had to take
her hat or something of hers and give it to him in order for it to be a kinyan chalifin. And then in return, he's kind of the hat or whatever it is, and in return, she's kind of herself. Yeah. So nothing to do with the question of whether the halacha is like Rav Shimon. Amr of Shulbach, so what's the bottom line? Amr of Shulbach,
it's because of a kinyan, then we can infer already the halacha.
No, we can infer, in other words, the question is basically that, if she had used her own keli, would that have made a valid kinyan, or is it that Rav Nachman is not even really getting into that? The fact is it was an invalid kinyan, therefore there's nothing else to talk about. Had it been a valid kinyan, then we would have to discuss whether the halacha was like Rav Shimon or not.
We don't draw conclusions.
We can't necessarily draw a conclusion from that, yeah. Okay. Amr Shmuel Bar Chisoy Amr Rav Amnuna Sava Amr Rav Yitzchok Bar Ashi and Amr Rav Amnuna Amr Rav Huna Amr Rav Amnuna Halacha for Rav Shimon. They all say that that's all chain, says that the halacha is like Rav Shimon. The loy eat, but in fact that's not so. Ain't halacha for Rav Shimon. The halacha is not like him. You don't need a shtar shikru. Any of the valid methods of freeing an eved, including kesef, are equally valid. You don't need a shtar shikru. If there was kesef given, you don't need a shtar shikru.
So if the guy is on a bus that dies, automatically free.
So if he's a ger, then that's what we said, they're automatically free. Right. No, in that case, that's a special situation. We said they don't need to get shikru. But even in a regular case, no. So we said if the master is makhdu the slave, we said that's the machlokas Rav and Shmuel, and Rav Yochanan, whether you need to get shikru. But according to what we're saying now, the halacha is not like Rav Shimon that you always need to get shikur. In an ordinary case where a master owns an eved, and now the eved wants to buy his freedom, that's it. All he needs to do is give the money and he's free. No shtar shikur is needed. And that's what we're saying. That's the final halacha. Interesting thing, by the way, real quick, because then we got to get going. But why did the Gemara make a point of mentioning that this took place at the door of the shul? Because we had yesterday the case where Rabbi Eliezer was in shul and freed his slave in order to make a minyan. So therefore, now they're discussing, taka in shul, if you just free a slave on the spot like that, like he did, do you need to write him against shikur or not? If we say the halacha like Rabbi Shimon, you would need to. And if this happened on Shabbos Parshas Zohar, for example, as we talked about yesterday, you'd have a problem. You can't. So therefore, by saying that they did it in shul implies that this is the reason for the discussion.